the matter of Joshua doing this, bringing these exhortations and these encouragements, is only by a man who was in the good of it himself. And I think we see that with his brother Emil was mentioning these different ones and their last words. Anyone who had a word of exhortation to the people of God that followed them could only do this really as one who was living in the value of it themselves. And I think we see it with Joshua. He lived in the reality of this all these years, from what we heard this morning, from his youth, all the way up to 110 years old. He lived in the reality of finding the Lord to be his portion. And he lived in the reality of encouragement. Therefore, he could give encouragement. He said, the Lord will be with you, because the Lord was with him. He knew what that meant. He knew how the experience of this. And he could say to cleave unto the Lord, because he had clave unto the Lord. And so he lived in the reality. And I think this is important. Young people are looking for reality. You know, they look at older ones and they're very discerning. Young people, they can see, are they fakes? Or is this real in their daily life? And I think it's a challenge to all of us, especially us who are older. Are we living in the reality of this ourselves?
So we might ask the question as to what are these gods in relation to us today? We understand what, and Steve helped us to understand the gods on the other side, coming out of Ur of the Chaldees, and they were to take a definitive stand against that. It seems as though the mentality of these gods followed their footsteps throughout their journeying. Now the challenge at Shechem is that you've got to cut them off. You've got to put them away. You remember that it was at Shechem that Jacob took those idols away from his children and had to bury them there. Shechem seems to be a very significant place where the cutting off of these idols must take place. Now, so what are the idols for us today? I don't have any man-made anything in my house in the sense that I worship it. But there are so many things that can govern us and become an idol to us, whether it is the job, school, the very legitimate things of life, the car, money, pleasure. I think we have to be realistic as to these very things, because Joshua is saying to us as well, what is there in your life that takes precedence over the interest of Christ? That is what has to go in Shechem. And it has to be put away. There is no, well, I can carry a little piece. I think Brother Jake said, you know, we can take 10% or 1% of the flesh and carry it in and mix it with spiritual interests. Absolutely not. Joshua is saying none of that. There has to be a decisive break. No connection with anything that is of this side of the Jordan. The liberty that comes from going over the Jordan and coming into the land is what must be maintained. And it's beautiful to see that Joshua is in deep exercise, that what is for God is what goes through.
But before I speak about the two places, the land of the two rivers, Mesopotamia and Egypt. I think there is an interesting difference between chapter 23 and 24. In chapter 23, it is Joshua who is speaking and challenging the people. In chapter 24, it is the Lord. Because verse 2, Joshua called the people and he said, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel. This is no longer the words of Joshua. These are the words of the Lord. And it has really, so no one would say, well, that's your opinion, Joshua. That's your experience. So mine is different than yours. And when I get old, I might have a different opinion than yours. No, chapter 24 confirm what Joshua have said in chapter 23, because from verse 2 to verse about 15, it is the Lord who is speaking, not Joshua speaking. Joshua is the mouthpiece, as he count that. And the fascinating thing is this, when the Lord's speaking, He's speaking of what he have done. And when Joshua is speaking, he's speaking of what the Lord have done. Usually, when you get a little bit older, you count of all of us the great stuff that you have done. I don't find that among the people of God when they speak. They always point to the Lord. So they are dependent on the Lord in everything. And that was really the idolatry of Egypt and of Mesopotamia. Both are characterized by rivers. Mesopotamia, you have the Tigris and the Euphrates, two rivers. Egypt, you have the Nile. You really do not depend on the rain from heaven. You are self-sufficient. And that is really the difficulties of our days today. I am rich, I am increased with good, and I'm in need of nothing. I just have it all. If you don't know it, just Google it, you get it. You don't really have to do it. Everything is at your fingertip, right? That's just the way. And that is really the idea of idolatry today. We might not have an idol, but we have that self-sufficiency that we are not dependent on God at all. If God was the one who took them out of the land of Egypt, if God who have kept them in the wilderness and brought them to the land, it's only God that is able to keep them. Therefore, in Acts chapter 20, Paul rely on that principle. I commit you to the Lord and to the word of his grace that is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So the whole idea for the Christian today is dependent on God, not on the resources of this world.
So I believe the point you're making, Emil, is that Joshua was repeating what the Lord had done, and it was the Lord, word of the Lord. I believe that verse 14 is where it changes, where he is now speaking as a form of exhortation. So the word of the Lord is from verse 2 to verse 13, and that's significant because now he takes that word of the Lord, and now he says, now, or in view of this, there's a decision that has to be made. And, you know, it could be that Joshua felt the people were living by Joshua's faith. And it's easy to do. But what happens when the faith that has drawn me along is removed from my life? Where do I stand? What happens to a young person when they leave the house? What happens to an older brother or sister when their parents pass on? Well, whose faith were you living? The faith of your parents or your faith? There comes a time when we have to pick up our own shield, the shield of faith, and we have to live that faith as our own. We have to embrace what we've been taught. We have to be fully convinced and embrace it. And this is really the exhortation. You can't depend upon the faith of the unbeliever, although you may have for quite some time. You have to stand on your faith. And this is a very important transition to think about that. You know, are you standing on your faith or someone else's faith? And if it's on someone else's faith, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to move forward in our walk with the Lord and stand on our faith with the Lord.